Okay. So obviously you're eating, so no worries. But if you would like, you can go to spark.church and download the document. I have a feeling I might make some minor tweaks and changes, but generally speaking, the content of that document is the bulk of what I want to share and what I want us to know as a community as we move forward in volunteering and partnership and service. I'd like to cover four main categories. The first is, what is our philosophy about people who volunteer in a church? What is our culture? In other words, what do we expect from people who are part of our volunteer team? What are our systems? What are the ways in which we're going to operate? And then the last is just to say a big, huge thank you to all of you. So those are the four areas that we're going to cover. So first is the philosophy. It'll come up on the screen behind me. Hopefully you can see it, or I'll read it out loud because I want everybody to know this. Our philosophy is this. We believe that every person in our church is an active contributor to the life of our community. Attendance at our services, connecting with one another, participating in a small group, volunteering with a team, and hundreds of other ways that you all participate and engage is what makes Spark Spark, the significant aspects of the life and the experience of Spark. So I want to explicitly communicate to this community that however you participate, we see that participation as central and valuable to our life. And that includes attendance, all the things I just listed, small group, all that stuff. We are deeply grateful and cognizant that there are no categories of value. So if you're volunteering, you're more valuable. If you're on staff, you're more valuable. If you're a pastor, you're more valuable. Those categories of value do not exist for us. Everybody is equally valued from the moment that you spoke a scripture on the YouTube channel to just picking up a chair and moving it, to just simply saying hi to somebody, to even just attending once and asking a question, who are you? I'm new or whatever. All of that is tremendously valuable. And I'm emphasizing this because I really mean it and I really want us to know it. It's hard because there's a rhythm and a schedule. There's things that we do all the time. But I do not want the value judgment to get lost. That every young one, every old one, everything that anybody ever does. If I can, this is just the example that came, well, there's so many different, I better not start because then I won't stop. There are moments when I see one of you show up and because I'm either busy or doing whatever, I do not get the chance to say how much I'm so grateful for your participation. And I see you when you move chairs. I see you when you play your instrument and sing. I see you when you show up and turn knobs and dials on a computer or on a soundboard. I see you when you greet one another. I see you when you put forks and plates away and move, rolling cases. There's just a thousand ways in which this community makes this community happen. And I just want to make sure that we emphasize that is... that is what makes Spark Spark. So as such, we equally value everyone's humanity, presence, and contribution, no matter how big or how small. Any questions on that? I want to make this explicitly clear. From every piece of foam that you do, Tony, it's amazing. Okay. The second aspect, which is this particular team, which is the volunteer team, this is the general philosophy then. Because you're not more valuable than somebody else. Everybody has equal value. This is the way we think about it. Volunteer teams are commissioned to assist with the operations of the church, like all the things that you have to do to make it go. And team members are involved because, and here's the key thing, you have specific gifts, talents, abilities, and capabilities which match the needs of the community. That's what makes this team a team, is that you have something that matches with a need of the community. And so when you think about your participation with the in partnership with the volunteer team, we don't think about you as a mere cog in the wheel of operations or just a worker. Like, thank dear Lord, finally somebody showed up and just did this thing. We see it as a match, as a fit, as you have something of value, our community has something of need, and you put those two together and you have a beautiful volunteer capacity. We're matching your gifts, abilities, capabilities with the need. And what is really critically important, and I'll say this twice today, is that as a result of that match, through this kind of service, team members give and receive life. You both give and you receive life. Clearly, you give life. Like, when you set something up, when you say hello, when you greet something, you are giving of yourself to the community. But equally important in my mind is that you are also receiving life, that you find value and purpose and meaning with the match of your gifts and abilities with the thing that is needed. I know for me that is true. I often go home on Sundays really exhausted, but really full of life, because especially when I hear a comment from some of you about any aspect of our church that we got to participate in, it gives me so much life to know that what we've done has added value to your life. So we want to make sure that you not only give life, but you receive life. Some of this value, some of this perspective, some of this philosophy has grown up. And I'll remind us that 7 years ago, oh my gosh, 9 years ago when we started Spark, we're pushing 9 years now. 9 years when we started, there were a lot of us that had been burnt out and worked out because there was a religious obligation for us to sacrifice ourselves wholly and completely for the cause. But we weren't connected to meaning or value or a greater, larger community. And so we were just tired. And I just didn't want to do it anymore because there wasn't any, like, what was the purpose? Was the purpose just to make the machine run? And so that still sits, that's still a vestige of my philosophy. I want to make sure that this team feels cared for and loved. And as you give, you are also receiving life. I've said this before, and I probably should put it in the slides. Burnout, which is a word that we often use, is a result not of exertion, but of lack of purpose. Burnout exists not when you're tired. It's when you don't have any meaning or purpose or connection to the work that you're doing. That's burnout. You can go home, many of you who've played sports, you leave the game and you're exhausted, but you're full of life and energy. Same thing here. I hope that people leave a volunteer experience or a job that we needed to do or whatever, full of life, because your energies were poured into something that was of value and of need, and you feel as if that was meaningful and purposeful for you. So we're very much against burnout, and what we mean by that is the absence of any purpose in the work that you do. And so we hope that we continually encourage one another in the purposes that we do here. Does that make sense, what burnout is? Really important. Okay, some additional pieces of that puzzle then. We are community-centered, not work-centered, sacrificial and selfless, sustainable and life-giving. These are the things that I'm hoping that we're going for, not crushing. This is what I'm... culture piece. Community-centered. What I mean by this is very simple, that the end result of our work is the people, not the work itself. And so a lot of times you might be involved in a volunteerism in which perfection or opulence, and even on occasion the word excellence is used. And those terms, I'm sure, have their place. But what I want to be cautious of is that the terms excellence, which is sometimes connected with perfection and opulence, are by themselves intrinsically exclusionary. What I mean by that is that not everybody can be opulent and excellent and perfect in everything. And so I'm cautious to use those kind of terms and ideas that have been applied to volunteerism teams and churches, at least in my experience, maybe in your experience, because excellence, meaning that the work itself is like perfect, is not the goal. The goal is that the work itself did something wonderful and valuable for the person who's receiving the work, not for the express work purpose of the opulence or the excellence of the work itself. So community-centered, to me, means that we are going to live by values that are intrinsically people-centered, not performance-centered. And I know those are hard to kind of separate. They are tied to one another. But for us, it's like, if you didn't do something up to snuff, I suppose, it's like, okay, but what was the end result of that? Did somebody still find it valued? Did somebody find a connection with you as a result of your participation? The answer, yes, then fantastic. Because we're trying to be people-centered. The other piece of the community-centered is that I hope that you find community being built when you participate with one another. There's some incredible leadership books. One of them, The Wisdom of Teams by Katzenberg I forget the author's name. Anyway, the fundamental idea behind a team is that you have a common performative goal that you are achieving together. That's what builds a team. That's what builds a community. And so as you volunteer with one another, like Sydney and Tom did today, we hope that you find connection with each other, not just in the work. When you sing together, obviously, in the band, you connect with one another. When you're out there in the lobby greeting people, you find a camaraderie with one another, with your fellow greeters. So I'm hoping that community-centered really is the culture of how we volunteer. Not just work, not just performance, but the community. Connected with one another, and that you feel like the work is benefiting the community. Sacrificial and selfless doesn't really need a lot of explanation. There are going to be moments where you self-sacrifice for the care of the community, where you give up a part of who you are. That's what it means to serve. So this is just an explanation of something you're familiar with, that we don't serve because we want to be recognized or because we want accolades or because we want public honor. We serve because we do so with humility. We're just happy to give of ourselves to each other. You might serve because you like food, and that's okay. That's a selfish motivation I can get behind. But generally speaking, we do want to be sacrificial and selfless. Sustainable is really important to me, which is both a personal and an ecological value. What I mean by that is this: it's a personal value. I want you to make sure that your involvement is sustainable, which means you're not pushing yourselves beyond what you know you can do. Because we want you to participate for the long haul. We don't want you just for this thing. Spark has been around for 9 years, if you can believe it. Who knows how many years or decades or even centuries Spark is going to exist? Did I just say centuries? And so we want to make sure that your participation in however long is sustainable, so that you don't feel like you've... And unfortunately, this has happened once or twice at Spark, which makes me very, very sad, where somebody feels like they just have to give and give and give, and then they just have nothing else to give anymore, and they leave the community because it only... When they think of Spark, when they show up to Spark, they only see the burden. And that makes me sad, because that's not the kind of community I want to build, I want to be a part of. So it's a personal value. You take care of yourself and you let us know whether or not it's sustainable. I mean, you'll get to have control over that. It is also an ecological value. What I mean by that is that the community needs to be sustainable in its operations so that we have a nice rotation of people, so that the sound is covered every week. So lobby greeters are covered every week. The Zoom room is covered every week. Setting up and tearing down is covered every week. That also needs to be sustained. And so setting it on the shoulders of just one or two people means that there's going to be one or two weeks where that nobody shows up for that. And then it's not done. And then, you know, we're not ready to receive. And so we want to be sustainable personally and ecologically, which is why we want actually more people to join the team, which means that if you're a lobby greeter and you've got, if there's 12 people on the team, we need 3 people per week, then that you volunteer once a month. But every single week, we have a team of people ready to set up the lobby and to greet. Does that make sense? Personal and ecological. The last thing I'll say about sustainable is that the reason why we can believe in this value and this culture is because we believe in abundance. We are operating on the assumption that this community has everything that it needs to sustain itself. We believe in abundance, not in scarcity, that we're just scraping the bottom of the barrel to just barely get everything. No, we have exactly what we need. God has been provider and sustainer. And so we don't have to panic. We don't have to worry. We believe that this community has everything that it needs. This is something Tony and I have talked about on a regular basis. Living out of abundance rather than out of scarcity. Recognize what we have. Valuing what we have. Knowing that what we have is enough. And so we believe that sustainability is possible because of that value. The last thing is the redundant. Life-giving, not crushing. As I mentioned before, through your service, we hope that you get a sense of purpose and value and even pleasure. We hope that you like it, knowing that your energies and efforts have given something positive to this world. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, the only last thing, and I didn't put a slide to it. Shame on me. Here's our teams. By the way, if you see a team up there, sorry, if you know there's a team that's not listed there, let me know. The reason why the list of teams is important is for the administration that's coming next that I'd like to talk to you about, which is our systems. And if a team is official, then it gets into the system, and then all the things that I'm about to talk about will make sense to you. The only last thing I wanted to say about the culture piece, which I don't have a slide to, is that in addition to community-centered, sacrificial and selfless, sustainable and life-giving, there are general spark values, such as we embrace a radical welcome. We embrace the question. Anybody who has any question about anything for any reason, as long as it's sincere, is embraced. You can ask about theology. You can ask about finances. You can ask about leadership. You can ask about philosophy. You can ask about anything you want. We are committed to the way of Jesus, and we're just human. We're not trying to be religious folks. We're just people. I know I've talked to some of you, and you show up at some churches, and it feels like you've entered into a religious zone all of a sudden. And I hope that we are clearly a religious institution by identity and practice and stuff like that, but we believe that the way of Jesus has given us a new way of being human, a fresh way of being human, a real way of being human. So all of those things, welcome and embracing the question, you all get to exemplify. So when you interact with one another, we want you to also embrace the full culture of our values, of all of those things as well. So welcome one another. When somebody comes to you and asks you a question, embrace it. Continue to be the amazing humans that you are. Okay. Last thing before I say a big thank you, and then we'll bring it to a close and any questions that you may have. I want to talk to you briefly about our systems. Okay, we have our culture, we have our commitments, and now we have our systems. We have chosen, or it has chosen us, I'm actually not quite sure, Planning Center Online as our administrative tools. I'm pretty sure it chose us because it was free at the beginning, and then all of a sudden they started charging us. So what happened is, they have a whole bunch of apps. If you take a look, we have signed up for all of these, which means that if you are a part of our church and you filled out a form, which is no obligation, but if you have, then we have a portion which is called People. We have registrations for our events. We have giving platform. We have groups that manage the groups. We have check-ins for when we back into the children's thing and all that kind of stuff. And then we have at the bottom the green button, which are services. And I'd like to spend just a few moments talking to you about the system, because if everybody knows this and can participate, it will make all of the back end that we do so much easier and smoother. It's really very, very helpful. Under the system, under PCO, which we'll call PCO, Planning Center Online, we call PCO. If you get an invitation or if you are a part of a team, you can go to that link, which should be pretty simple and straightforward. You just click the services button, and if we don't have that easily linked, we'll make sure we get it easily linked. But if you've ever gotten an invitation from us, you click a button and you're immediately brought to this particular page. And on this page, you'll see on the menu my schedule highlighted, and then underneath it, sign up Spark Sunday services July 27th through September 26th. Sign up sheets. Basically, what we've done is we've put all of you on that sheet. And if you click that button, this is my list, you will see all the teams that you are a part of, and all you do is click a button and sign up. It's that, or should be, that simple. What that does is it communicates to us that you are signing up for that Sunday. And if you notice, so I'm on every team just because I'm an administrator. Teacher, worship leader, A1 and A2, which is the audio engineer, then the band. And if you kept scrolling down, you'll find Zoom room and host, the person who does the prayer, etc. It's all there, or hopefully it's all there. Again, if there's any tweaks, we'll fix that. What we hope that you do is just simply click the button. We will send you reminders along the way, and just sign up, click. And that's it. And you can actually see then, as a result of this, who has already signed up. For example, June 27th, which is today, Robert has clicked the green under audio engineer. Thank you, Robert. You have confirmed that you are going to be the audio. Is he not here? Oh, there he is. He's in the back. And then Bob has also been assigned, but Bob has a yellow question mark, which means he hasn't confirmed or accepted. So that's what you see on our end. No shame on that, by the way, Bob. So assigned means that rather than you signing up, Junior or Mark or I put you there. So there's multiple ways in which we'll get to this, but you can sign up, but we can also assign you. So for example, when Junior is building the team, he might say, hey, I would really like to have so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you didn't sign up, but you've been assigned. And the software will automatically send you an email, or should, it's worked so far, that says you have been assigned to this spot. Do you accept or do you decline? And my experience has been so far that you just click once and you've accepted or you've declined. And that just lets us know that's the communication piece. On this page, if you see it, notice there's a sign-up sheet, but right below it says confirmed. So the first page that you get to should, and again, we're still working out the kinks of this, but should show you this is what you're confirmed for on that page. Junior, we'll try not to spend too much time on this because the kinks of this should work out. Once I've linked PCO, I click my schedule right here. And my schedule, this is what I'm currently signed up for if I scroll down. I'm signed up for acoustic guitar and teacher, and I'm also signed up for worship leader for July 4th. That's currently what I'm currently scheduled for. So there's two categories, sign-up sheet and confirmed. Again, Darren, do you see that? So again, well, this is why we're doing the training, is because hopefully you'll get used to it. I understand there is a learning curve. It took us 3 years to figure this out. So there's a lot of grace here. We've been using this system for 3 years, so we're just now getting to it. I will not, just because I don't want to spend a lot of time going over the minutia of it. I'm just hoping to do the high level, and then we'll do some more, like after the official meeting, if you want to look more closely, I'll walk it through step by step. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know you've signed up. It's been great, Kendra. Yes, Anne. What we're basically doing is creating one place. I'll link this on the website. We will send you an email and you just click there and it takes you to this page. And if you are logged in, which you'll, you know, unfortunately you'll need an account like everything, right? Your sign up green buttons will populate according to the teams that you are assigned to. That's how the system works. I couldn't figure out how to make it just a blanket general sign up. You have to be assigned to a team. which, by the way, makes, I forgot to say this. Your assignment to the team is currently how we're navigating this. It is not your destiny that you are a part of that team and that team only for all of eternity. That's just the matter of functionality. So let's say you're a part of a host team, but all of a sudden you would like to do the greeter. Great. All you do is let us know and we'll add you to that team. So your assigned team is just a function of the software, not a declaration of your identity. Okay? So if you want to participate in multiple teams, just let us know. And we'd be happy to sign you up for wherever you need to be. And the hospitality team will also go here as well. But I have to talk to Christine and Debbie just to make sure that, because we've been using SignUp Genius for that and it's worked really well. But so we haven't actually touched base. I haven't talked to hospitality team about this. This has been primarily the service piece. So once the food and hospitality, I'll get with them and just make sure, does this work? Do we think it's functional? You know, we haven't talked. I've only talked through these particular teams. Thank you. Thank you for that question. Okay. This was amazing because as I was building this deck, Amy sent me an email from the online thing, from the group function, and she just said, I can help with setup and teardown some weeks. This was brilliant because one of the things that we are asking you to do is just communicate. If the software is not working, just communicate. If you don't know how, just communicate. Send a text. Send an email. Give me a call. Send carrier pigeon. I don't care how you get here. Just get here if you can. So I love this because Amy is currently not signed up for any of those teams, but she said, hey, I would love to participate. And I just, to get that email in the middle of building the slide deck was just such a blessing to me because this is perfect. All I do now is go in, click, I put Amy on the team, and I send her the email, and she can then sign up, or I can be assigned. So here's the key thing. Here's the systems. It is our hope that we are at minimum 2 months ahead. And then every other month, we'll check in, send an email, and say, hey, would you please consider signing up for the next 2 months or something like that. So we'll be proactive in reminding you and asking you to consider. We will also be proactive in inviting others. By the way, you are great recruiters. One of the main reasons why so many of you are part of the team is because you've asked other Sparkers to participate. It's been brilliant and wonderful. Please continue to do that. But we know that there's going to be a constant rotation, new people that would love to participate. We love having Sparkers participate in the prayer and the hosting and in the motion song, all of that stuff. So the more we get participation, the more we love it. 2 months ahead is our goal. Please communicate, as I mentioned to you, any means that is convenient for you. We want to make it as simple as possible for you. Just let us know. If you're having difficulty, you would like to change a team, whatever, just let us know. Oh, I already mentioned this. Assigned to a team is not meaning assigned to the book of life, right? It is not your identity. It's not your destiny for all eternity. Just recognize that we will participate in moving you to wherever you feel so led. And then, most important, I hope on a regular basis, I will put food in your belly as my love language. It is truly my love language to say how much we love and appreciate every single one of you. And we are painfully, passionately, lovingly cognizant that this church does not exist without you. And that leads us to a level of tremendous gratitude, which is why we feed you. It's our way of saying thank you. So in addition to the personal thanks, in addition to having you over, food is our way of saying thank you to all of you. Darren has accepted something. See, I'm getting the notifications already. It's brilliant how this works. We have a philosophy, which is to avoid burnout, make sure you are sustained, that you feel life in giving life. We have a culture to make sure that we are sacrificing ourselves for the community, that we're doing the work for other people, not just for the sake of the work. And then we have PCO as our system. I think that's it. Okay, any questions? Thoughts, comments, concerns, criticisms, critiques, correspondence? No? No? Is it time to eat the pie? Almost? Right. Right. See, you did a good... See, you're fantastic, Kendra. Right. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. There are these barriers that we have, these psychological and emotional barriers and community barriers. I'm not on a team. I don't volunteer. I didn't sign up. Those are all things that we tell ourselves to create those boundaries of who's in and who's out. Part of the culture of being community oriented in my mind is to do our part as best as we can to break down those barriers. So I love what you did. No, come. Even if you'd like to sign up, come. There'll be plenty of food. I mean, I was looking at, and I'll be honest with you, it's like, oh shoot, I hope I ordered enough. And Dan said to me, loaves and fishes, brother, loaves and fishes. You know, and I was just like, oh, thank you. But it's that attitude of abundance. It's that attitude of invitation. And the boundary markers that we put up are the things that we're trying to massage away. I don't want to demolish them, obviously. I mean, like, some of those things, I guess, are important. But I love what you did, and I affirm it. No, even if you want to participate, to come. Just have some food and sit, have a meeting. You'll learn more about what it is, how to participate. Maybe you'll be inspired, and then you will set, right? So you're exactly correct. It will require the community's effort to encourage others to participate. Yeah. The motion song that they did today was brilliant, right? The group decided to do it together. So Anne, completely affirm. Kendra, completely affirm. Usually when the upfront person says it, it's like there's a need and a burden. But if you invite them, it's an invitation to community. So yeah, there is tremendous power in you all inviting. So, and very much so, yeah. Nancy.
So I have a question.
So that's next. I haven't set up in my mind when we're going to do that. But at some particular point in the future, we need to go, okay, show up at the synagogue. We're going to show you where the keys are. Where's the panic button? Here's how the doors work. Here's it. You're exactly correct. So what I wanted to do this because I felt, you know, after pandemic, it felt like we just need to get the why, and now we'll get to the how. So as soon as this is done, maybe in the next month or two, we'll start scheduling that time. I didn't take it as a diss at all. You are 100% correct. The nuts and bolts of it is really important. Like, where are the keys? For example, I'll give you a perfect example because you did the greeting today, yeah? Yeah. So there's a whole thing about the front lobby that I haven't communicated to anybody because we are at a synagogue and the safety and the security issues are really important here. And I haven't done any training on that. So I need to show you where the panic buttons are. I need to tell you what the code is. I need to tell you how the doors work. And there's some things about the front lobby that are important to know as a front lobby greeter. Haven't done that. Need to do that. Important to do that. So I didn't take your comment as a diss at all, but absolutely correct. So we need to do that. And we'll that's next, soon. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Thank you. You'll be getting some emails, hopefully not too many of them, but just some reminders about how the system is working. By the way, did you all get my email about today's thing? Not just the email, the weekly, but a personal email? Okay, because that was sent from the PCO software to the entire team list. So if you didn't get that, then we'll need to make sure that, you know, spam folders or whatever, make sure we have the right email address on file and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to do some back end double checking, make sure all the sign up links are just easy. Just if you're a volunteer, click here and you're going. And one last thing, if you don't did you do it on the app or was it just on this? Okay. I have to figure out if the app's actually, never mind. Forget what I'm saying.
I can debug with you later.
Okay. Thank you. Finish the food. Come have birthday pie? Cake. Birthday cake. Come have birthday cake. Thank you, Arlette, so much for providing this. So amazing. And have a wonderful rest of your evening, everybody. We love and appreciate you terribly. You are amazing people.